ग्लोरिस्ट।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। So on the most auspicious occasion of Sri Krishna Janmashtami, it is my great fortune and privilege to be given this opportunity to speak and glorify Krishna in this august assembly. And after the most wonderful beginning by Shyamanand Prabhu on the prayers of the demigods, I have been asked to speak on the advent of Lord Krishna. So, I will be speaking on one particular aspect of his personality, how Krishna inculcates the mood of being the servant, and how the Supreme Lord appears in this world, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. So normally we understand this dushkritam to be demons like Kamsa and to kill all of them. But Krishna also performs his pastimes to destroy the demonic propensities within his devotees, within his servants. So therefore, as practicing devotees, this is a very interesting feature of Krishna's personality, that like a loving father who is constantly monitoring the wayward behavior of his errant son, Krishna constantly monitors to see the progress of his devotee, and whatever is required to assist the devotee come closer to him, Krishna manifests his mercy accordingly. So I will speak from one verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is about one of the greatest devotees of Krishna. And he is referred to in this verse as Haridas, as the great devotee of Lord Hari.
Hantaya Madri Abala Haridasavaryo Yadrama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayoryat Paniya Suyavasa Kandara Kandamula.
So this verse is glorifying Giriraj Govardhan, and the gopis are glorifying Giriraj as Hantayam Adri Abala Haridasa Varyo. That Govardhan is the topmost amongst the devotees of Krishna. So how Krishna will manifest his devotional spirit? In which form, in which feature, whom will he choose to glorify as his topmost devotee is very difficult to judge. And therefore it is a great threat in spiritual life to judge devotees based on externals. So apparently here is a personality who has the form of a mountain. And Krishna chooses this personality to be one of his topmost devotees, much to the bewilderment of Indra. So in this verse it is described, Haridasa Varyo, he is considered to be the greatest of devotees. Why? Yada Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramoda. Because he is performing all kinds of services to arrange for Krishna and Balaram to perform pastimes by placing the lotus feet on his body. He is offering his entire body in the service of the Supreme Lord. His entire existence he is offering in the service of the Supreme Lord. So to the extent we are able to offer ourselves completely, body, mind and words, in the Lord's service, to that extent we become glorious. So therefore Govardhan had no other function but simply to provide all kinds of tasteful arrangements for Krishna and Balaram. So now sometimes it is easy to be very active in serving the Supreme Lord, the Master. So because everyone knows that Krishna is the Master, so naturally it is easier to become attracted to serve Him. But what about the servant? So the servants of Krishna and Balram are all of these cowherd boys. Manam tanoti saha go ganayos tayoriyat. So Govardhan is not only providing all kinds of nice facility and service for Krishna and Balram, but is also providing every service for all the other servants of Krishna. That means he is in the mood of being the servant of the servant. So not only the cowherd boys, but the cows and the calves and everyone who are with Krishna, they become the object of worship and service for Giriraj. And therefore, he is considered to be Haridasa Varya. That he agrees to put himself at the feet of the tiniest calf who is accompanying Krishna and Balram in their journey into the pasture grounds. Which is not a very easy task. It is very, very difficult. Once the spiritual advancement is tested, as we progress, by seeing how we become non-envious and how we allow ourselves to be used as instruments in the service of others. There is one beautiful story about Jayananda Prabhu, that one of his special qualities was he would preach to people, and when they would become devotees, then he would become their servant, and then he would make them temple president, and then he would serve under them. And then he would continue to serve like that. And this quality was so unique and so rare. There is a story that one time he came to his temple president. It's a devotee whom he had preached to, and he had become a devotee by his preaching, and now he was the president. So Jayananda Prabhu came one day to him and he gave him a check. And this devotee saw the check and it was like $50,000. And he got astounded. He said, such a big amount. He said, what do you want me to do? He said, this is just for the temple. I had some balance. Somewhere I got this. You keep it for this use. Now Jayananda Prabhu at that time had never visited India. Whereas this devotee whom he had preached to had already gone a few times. So he thought, let me, you know, give him this opportunity. He said, let me use part of these funds to arrange for you to go to India. You can visit holy places and come. Why don't you go? So he said, well, I don't have any service, so what is the point in going? And nobody has told me so far that I should go. So I don't think I should go. He said, no, I am instructing you, you should go. And as far as service is concerned, the reason you should go is that in this season, just before summer, they will start manufacturing the Rath Yatra cart in Jagannath Puri. And the Rath Yatra carts are manufactured on the road only, so anyone can go and see. So therefore, we want you to go to India so that you can visit Jagannath Puri to see the Rath Yatra carts being manufactured so that you can use their technology to help here. Then he got convinced to go. This was his mood of being such a submissive, humble servant, and this is what attracted Srila Prabhupada towards him so much. And we can see that this is the real mood which makes the Vaishnava community really sweet. So the center of all pastimes is Govardhan. And why does a place become more intimate than others? To the extent a person is able to express himself completely and most intimately, to that extent, a place is considered to be intimate. Like there is the outside gate, then there is the front door, then there is the kitchen. But these are all different parts of the house. But the inside room, where the person actually stays, that is considered to be the most intimate. Like if someone goes for an interview in some company, then the people who are taking the interview are sitting in suit and tie, because it's a very formal setting. And therefore the whole exchange is very formal. The interview, the person asking the interview will never begin by saying, "So, what is your girlfriend's name? Are you married? What is your wife's name? What is the date of birth?" These are not questions which you will ask. Nor will the person coming for the interview ask the interviewer, "So how much tax are you paying nowadays?" That is none of your business. When he comes for the interview, the whole exchange is very formal. And even the person asking the interview is sitting in very formal clothes. Just imagine if someone goes for an interview and the person asking questions, you know, managing director of the company sitting in a banyan. And the coat and tie is hung there on the side. And says, "I'm feeling a little hot, I don't mind this." So he'll be shocked. So he won't do that because it's a formal setting. So therefore, in Mathura Mandal, as Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar of Instruction, there are different rooms depending on the degree of intimacy to which Krishna expresses himself fully. So the place where Krishna expresses himself fully, so compared to Dwaraka, Krishna expresses himself more in Mathura, and compared to Mathura, he displays himself more fully in Vrindavan, and in that more fully Krishna expresses himself in Govardhan. And within Govardhan, the most intimate, where Krishna doesn't hold back anything at all, he just gives everything, that is Radhakund. And therefore Radhakund is considered to be the most intimate quarters in the house of Vrindavan. It is like the most intimate place. So therefore what makes this place very intimate is that the personality who is arranging all of these is Govardhan. And his mood is, how I have to serve all the other servants of Krishna also equally diligently and with lot of affection and energy. So this is a very interesting principle. So we will see in this pastime of Krishna dealing with Indra and Govardhan and Nanda Maharaj, that just before this pastime has taken place, Krishna has dealt with the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas had the problem of knowledge. So there are two impediments in spiritual life. One is knowledge and the other is power. So the Brahmanas had knowledge and Indra had power. So both were not demons, both were devotees, but their devotional service was mixed. It was not pure. So therefore Krishna is demonstrating through these two pastimes that what is the element which I do not like in impure bhakti and what we should do to make that impurity disappear and convert that into purity. So therefore knowledge is great, but when knowledge is acquired at the cost of application and one simply takes pleasure in acquiring the knowledge rather than understanding the end purpose of the knowledge and applying it, then one becomes mixed up in what is known as Jnana Mishra Bhakti. So therefore the Brahmanas had the impurity of Jnana Mishra Bhakti. They had too much of knowledge, but they could not recognize Krishna in the form of his agents who came. So therefore the same cowherd boys whom Govardhan is glorifying so much and respecting so much, the Brahmins could not recognize. And therefore, knowledge leads to what is known as ritualism. And ritualism leads to complacency. And in the case of Indra, we find that power leads to great pride, and pride leads to offense. So two most powerful impediments in our bhakti is this complacency and offending mentality. And therefore in successive chapters, Krishna deals with both of these. So first he humbles the Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas are known as demigods on earth. And then after humbling the demigods on earth, Krishna deals with the demigod in heaven. So Krishna thinks, I have done part one of my task. Now part two is remaining. So therefore, Bhumendra and Devendra, both were dealt with one after another. And through this, Krishna is demonstrating what is really dear to me is the mood of humble service. So before the chapter began of the Brahmanas, Krishna glorifies the trees of Vrindavan to the cowherd boys and says, how the trees of Vrindavan are so glorious that they are responding to the desires of my cowherd boyfriends. They are supplying anything they want. And just see the Brahmins. When they are requested to give something to my friends, they didn't give. So Krishna is making a point, better to be a low-born tree, better to be a selfless low-born tree than to be a selfish high-born Brahmana. So again, Krishna is glorifying in these two pastimes, tree versus Brahmins and mountain versus Indra. And Krishna is concluding that I would rather have connection with trees and mountains than with human beings and demigods who do not have the right attitude. Therefore, this principle is demonstrated here very powerfully in this particular episode. So the first principle here, the first lesson which we learn here is that Krishna is humbling both the demigods on earth and in heavenly planets. So therefore, Krishna wants to purify both of them from Jnana Mishra Bhakti, and Indra has what is known as Karma Mishra Bhakti. Devotional service mixed with the desire to enjoy the end product of the service. So Karma Mishra Bhakta is a very hard working devotee, but who will be very much attached to the fruit of the result and will go to any extent to fight and do whatever is possible within his power to get his rights and to assert himself till he is able to enjoy the fruits of his work. So he is willing to work for the Lord, but he wants his cut. So therefore Krishna is demonstrating through Indra the problem with Karma Mishra Bhakti. So both of these principles demonstrate that the real aspect of bhakti is the attitude, the mood in which one serves Krishna. Like Srila Prabhupada was asked the question one time, that some devotee came to Prabhupada and said, how to improve Vaishnava relationships? And Prabhupada told this devotee, get up early in the morning. And the devotee was scratching his head. But develop relationship and get up early in the morning? In fact, sometimes while sleeping we have the best relationships because nobody is disturbing each other. So Prabhupada said, when you get up early in the morning, you attend Mangala Arati, attend morning program, you are gradually purified of the influence of mode of passion and ignorance. You come to the stage of mode of goodness. And then when you are purified of the mode of goodness, you come to the transcendental stage. You become purified of the false ego. Therefore, he said, get up in the morning. So therefore, false ego is considered to be like a yantra, a machine, which is receiving wrong messages and it is giving output of wrong messages and therefore confusing us. It is like a machine which is continuously transmitting wrong signals. And therefore, as long as we are tuned into that, the false ego will convince us, you're great, you're great, you're great. That is the message repeatedly receiving. And we are continuously trying to tune in, you know, through the mind. That's like I was listening to the Shyamanantavu's class below in FM. I was doing some seva and I had this FM. And then the FM is tuned so finely, if there is discrepancy here and there, Krishnaya, Vasudevaya, and suddenly it went like this, ding, 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 ding. Some music came. And then, you know, he changed the words and then again, the knob changed a little bit and immediately some other music starts. If you are listening on FM, you have to be very careful here. You have to make sure that your whole thing is tuned on one channel only. If you think that lecture is boring, don't go to some other place. Let me get a little inspired and come back. So mind is like that, it will be tuned in one channel and suddenly it will get bored. Oh, I am not receiving any more messages from the false ego. what is going on, you know. So immediately, that transmitter, the false ego is like that transmitter, which keeps sending these messages. So another time, Prabhupada said, he said that when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna sees the attitude in which you are chanting. And that attitude is most important. So therefore, the attitude of chanting should be that of service. And he tells a story that one time there were three men, and there was a traveler who was going through the forest, and these three men accosted him. And these three men were wearing apparently devotional clothes. And one of them shouted, Keshav. Another person shouted, Gopal. And the third person shouted, Hari Hari. And then suddenly, as soon as he chanted Hari Hari, all the three fellows pounced on this traveler, looted him and ran away. And Prabhupada said, these three were members of a gang. And what they would say, Keshav, means who is this person? So one person is asking question, Keshav, who is this fellow? So second fellow studies him deeply and answers, Gopal, he's just a simple fellow. Gopal means he's from a village, like a cowherd boy, he's simple like a cowherd boy. So third person figures out whether he has any weapons or not and then gives signal, Hurry, hurry, we can steal him. So with the message, then they do this. So Prabhupada said, simply chanting will not do, because if the intent is not to serve, then ultimately Krishna will not be inspired by this call. Therefore, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, the mood in which we are chanting is, O divine energy of the Lord, Hare, O all attractive Krishna, please engage me in your divine service. So, we see that in this pastime of Govardhan, it begins by Krishna questioning Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj is performing a big yajna. And then every year this yajna has been going on. And there has been a tradition in the family. And amazing arrangements have been made, and suddenly Krishna appears and Krishna questions Nanda Maharaj. And why we are doing this to Indra? What is the need? And Krishna starts asking all kinds of questions, which are very discomforting. And he is asking these questions to Nanda Maharaj after all the arrangements have been made and after knowing that this is an annual feature. So naturally, just imagine if you have made all arrangements to do something, everything is ready, and just at the last moment you have bought the vegetables, you have purchased everything, cooked for 5 hours a big feast for 2,000 people, and then after everything is ready, then someone comes and says that, oh, there has been a misprint in the Vaishnava calendar. Today is Ekadashi. I am sorry to inform you that you have cooked this very good, but you can't serve it here. You can go and serve somewhere else, you know, where people are not doing Ekadashi. And you may get karmic reaction also. So, and the person will question, why could you tell me before I began? So therefore, the way Krishna deals is in such a way that it tests a person's faith and glorifies the quality of his devotee. So Krishna, as one of Srila Prabhupada's grandfather describes, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur describes Krishna as a supreme transcendental autocrat. Now, autocracy in general is considered to be not very good. But when it is in Krishna, then because Krishna is all good, he deals the way he wants. And therefore, Nanda Maharaj, he puts forward some arguments and Krishna demolishes all of those arguments. So, the second point which is made here is that blind faith is also not good. And Krishna is trying to demonstrate, don't be blind followers of tradition. Don't be blind followers of tradition. Try to understand, using intelligence, what is to be done and what is not to be done. And that is a very important principle. So therefore, if we simply follow things because certain things have been mentioned, and therefore following things as it is without using one's common sense can lead to great discrepancy. It's like Jayaprakash Maharaj in one of his magazines, which his disciples bring out, it is mentioned one story. He was giving initiation ceremony. And then when he was giving initiation, there was one candidate who came forward and then he gave him the mala. And as he was giving him the mala, his sannyas danda, which was kept on the side, it suddenly started falling down. And as it was about to fall down, Maharaj just shouted, "Danda, danda!" And then gave the mala to this devotee and then gave him the name. And whatever name you gave, so and so das, and then everyone said Hari Bol, and this devotee left. And 2 days later, his servant, Jayaprakash Maharaj's servant, came and said, "One disciple has come to give you Guru Dakshina." So what is his name? Danda Danda Das. He said, "I never gave initiation like this. I never gave a name like this." He said, "No," he said, "that is his name." So when he came, he said, "How did you get this name?" He said, "That's what you said, Danda Danda. And then you gave me the mala. So that is the last I can remember." He said, "I was calling out to the Danda there. And to you I gave different name, you didn't listen to me." So therefore, you have to figure out, using your common sense, if you have got a name like this, can it actually be a name like this? You should have asked at least few people, "What exactly is my name?" And many times after initiation, people come and ask, you know. Like our temple driver, Daruk Prabhu, before he came for initiation in the morning, he told all of his colony people, you know, "I am getting initiation." He said, "What is that?" "I am going to get a new name." Then when he got the name, everyone said, "What is your name?" In the college, "Daruka." "Is Daruka?" What kind of name is this? So for someone who is outside, doesn't know Krishna Leela, so they may wonder, what is the logic of this? So therefore, when we get a certain kind of service and we get a certain kind of profile, then the first question to ask is, what is the connection between what I am doing to the ultimate goal? And if that connection is not seen, then gradually it may just become something blind. So therefore Krishna is telling here, okay, tradition is great, but still Krishna has so many questions about whether Indra should be the recipient of all of this or not. So this is also a very interesting feature. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of his disciples, he was too much into taking bath. He would take 6-7 times a day bath. So when Saraswati Thakur was giving class and his brahmachari was missing, and after the class Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur went searching for him specifically, and knowing where he will find him, he went to the bathroom and he was there taking bath. And Saraswati Thakur said, "Here I am, sitting and giving Hari Katha for hours, and you are not even coming and hearing, and you are standing here and bathing? The Yuga Dharma is chanting, not bathing," he told him. And he said, "There is a certain balance with which you should do things." And therefore, yes, cleanliness is important, these things are mentioned, but what is the connection? What is the purpose for which you are doing this? The purpose has to be established. So then, the third principle is, as far as Nanda Maharaj is concerned, now Nanda Maharaj, you can see, is an experienced devotee. He is one of the elderly people who has been doing this yajna for years together. So however experienced and senior one may be, but one should know that life is always a learning experience. And Krishna is revealing this, that you may have been doing something for a very, very long time in a certain way which may have become a tradition. But one should be always ready to change if you find something more convincing and closer to the absolute truth. You may be following something, but it may be more on the relative truth. But the absolute truth is pleasing the Supreme Lord and His servants. And therefore, what is the logic in pleasing Indra at this point? So therefore, it is to Nanda Maharaj's credit that Nanda Maharaj although he had the profile of being Krishna's father, and he was teaching Krishna so many times, so many things, but he actually heard Krishna very submissively. And the most important feature is because there was affection and love. What really convinced Nanda Maharaj is Krishna very eagerly wants that all these offerings should be made to Govardhan. So therefore the most important ingredient which moves Vrindavan is love and affection. That is the plane, that is the ingredient which is the most essential qualitative feature of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And therefore a Vaishnava society which hopes to replicate the mode of Vrindavan also has to imbibe that same mode of affection and love amongst its members. Because in the ultimate analysis, logic and reason fails in many, many cases. And the only thing which ultimately helps is that because I have affection and love for this person and he is saying it, let us do it. So therefore in one of the purports, Sridharan Maharaj explains, control is seen as control and is visibly felt as control when there is resistance to that control. So therefore when Krishna is telling Nanda Maharaj, I know you have arranged everything, all of these big mountains of food have been kept, all of these, you know, so many kuns of sweet rice are there, but I just want to give a suggestion that this is all bogus and you have to change it. So now, why Nanda Maharaj agreed was because there was such a deep feeling for Krishna. And therefore we emphasize so much on Vaishnava relationships. Because the way things move in devotee circles is different from how things move in the outside world. The motivating factor which inspires every atomic particle in Vrindavan to move is love. That is the motivating force. And therefore, when we have relationships which is based on love, then things become automatically manifest with least effort. And so, here we see that Nanda Maharaj is reciprocating with Krishna like that. Just like regarding life being a learning experience, Srila Prabhupada went to meet the great president, Sarvapalli Radhakrishnan, ex-Radhakrishnan in Chennai. And the whole world knows he's such a big philosopher, big scholar, he wrote the Gita commentaries and everything. So when he met Srila Prabhupada, the first question he asked Srila Prabhupada, he was very respectful, he asked Srila Prabhupada, so how many new temples have you opened? And you know, naturally you would expect that Prabhupada would reply, I opened this many temples, is that ex-president is asking. So when Dr. Radhakrishnan, how many new temples you opened? Prabhupada's reply was, how many new meanings you have given to the Gita? That was Prabhupada's response. And he got flabbergasted. And what is this? Nobody has asked me a question like that. And then Prabhupada said, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, man mana bho mat bhakto. Krishna says, surrender unto me. How is it that you have interpreted that surrender to the unknown within me? And then Srila Prabhupada just launched into a whole series of arguments. And Dr. Radhakrishnan really started thinking whether I am doctor or not. Then, but Prabhupada was uncompromising. And then when Prabhupada left, Prabhupada commented that because of these kind of commentaries, so many people have been misled. But we should try to correct them and teach them as much as possible. So therefore, whenever Prabhupada would meet someone, he would take the opportunity to make sure that, okay, they may have not learned so far, but okay, let us give them a chance now. Better late than never. That was his philosophy. There was a television interview, and there was a person who was asking Prabhupada questions. And he had a little nasty attitude. And he was posing as if he couldn't understand any of the answers Prabhupada was giving. So Prabhupada was saying, just a simple thing, there is a body and there is a soul. Which is more important, body or soul? The soul is more important. And Prabhupada said, I will explain with an example. Suppose you have a car and a driver. Which is more important? And the interviewer said, car. Prabhupada said, between car and driver, how is car more important? And he said, if I don't have a car, how will I go to different places? without car I cannot move in America. Prabhupada said, but if the driver is not there, how will the car move? And Prabhupada was feeling that such a simple example is not able to get it. And then for next 20 minutes, Prabhupada was simply explaining car and driver example. And this man also got a little fed up and he said, okay Swamiji, thank you for the interview. And he said, cut. And the show was cut, lights were switched off, he started getting up. Prabhupada said, wait, you have not yet understood. And he got bewildered. He said, but I have time for my next show. He said, no, till you understand, I won't leave you. And Prabhupada went on explaining, sitting in that chair, and all the crew is looking, what's going on? The show is over. Normally, actors would leave immediately. But Prabhupada was not preaching to millions of people. He was more concerned with the soul who is in contact with him right there. And then after half an hour, this man said, yes, I have understood everything. Now at least leave me. And Prabhupada allowed him to go. So that was his compassion. That okay, somebody has not understood. No problem. There is always a time when someone can change. So this is an interesting principle that life is always a learning experience and we can always change and learn new things anytime. And anyone could be the cause of giving us that information and knowledge. The fourth principle is that Krishna establishes that why you should offer, my dear Nanda Maharaj, all of these things to Govardhan and not to Indra. Because Govardhan is sustaining us with all the grasses, which all the cows eat, which give us milk, and then ultimately is responsible for all the food which we get. So Krishna proves to Nanda Maharaj that since food is the basis for all of our sustenance, and we are getting this sanctified food by the mercy of Govardhan. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yagyartham karmanotsa lokoyam karmabandhana. That when we chant Hare Krishna, by the process of chanting, we are gradually purifying our consciousness and purifying the ether. Grains come, then the grains develop and we get the food. It is all part of a yajna. Therefore, when we get food and we offer it to Krishna, that is known as prasadam. Just like in Canada, there was one college program devotees did and they advertised. See how matter is converted to spirit. So many students came, and it was like a live demo also. So everyone came, there was a typical lecture, and everyone was waiting. Lecture is over, where is the demo? And a devotee came with a big plate, covered with a cloth. And then there were DTs there, in the program. So he kept it in front of the DTs, there was a curtain put, and the devotee sat down and started ringing the bell. And then the person announced that, now the process is going on. Matter is being converted to spirit. Listen carefully. So everyone was listening. He was chanting the mantras and he was chanting Namo Brahmana Devaya Go Brahmana Itayacha. He was, you know, ringing the bell. And everyone was waiting what will happen. Then the curtain opened. The cloth was still covering the plate. And the devotee took the plate and was walking away. And everyone said, hey, we want to see how the conversion has taken place. You just closed the curtain and did some ringing of the bell and you are saying it is converted. What is this? So the devotee was carrying the Mahaprasad open and there were 25 preparations in a big plate. Very delicious looking. And everyone looked at that. And then one of them said, okay, but you have to prove to us how it has converted to spirit. So the person who was giving the program said, well, I can explain to you in great detail how it has converted to spirit. It will take another 2 hours of lecture. What do you think? And other people have said, hey, we have understood. Come on, can't you see? It is spirit, of course it is spirit. Start giving the spirit. And they made that person, you know, shut up and made him sit down. And then that they started a big, you know, cooking class in that college campus after that. That was a one-time program. And then just by this, they got so much of wonderful... attracted so many young students towards this program. I was telling in this Prerna lecture two months ago that there was one man who went through a surgery and as a result of the surgery he lost sensation on his tongue and he couldn't taste anything properly and he was totally frustrated. Just imagine The only hope we have right now, the tongue. And half of our misery today is that nothing is going in there. And therefore somehow all the inputs are through these holes today. So just imagine that at the end of the day, if you put nothing you can taste. It is so frustrating. So he came to the ISKCON temple, went to the Govinda's restaurant, and then as soon as he tasted it, the sensation came. After months together. And he told his friend, "This is fantastic. I think I've been cured just by eating this." And then he went back home, and next day morning he had breakfast. Again he couldn't taste anything. He got bewildered. He came to the lunch to the Govinda restaurant. Again he could taste it. And for next 1 month he was only eating in the restaurant. He became purified so much, he went and joined the ashram. So of course this is not a promo for the Govindas. But the prasadam has had such effect, just like in Bhaktivedanta manner, they say that in 1978, when a new GBC took over, he decided that the deities are not getting proper mahaprasad, bhoga, milk sweets. So they started offering 108 milk sweets to the lordships every day. And we have with us Grace Kulangana Mataji from Bhaktivedanta Manor, who is most famous for her milk sweets, and many of her devotees went and also learned. She is here for the Janmashtami festival somewhere. So we would like to welcome her to Sri Shraddha Gopinath Mandir, loudly chanting. So then they started offering 108 mahasweets, and then within 6 months, they found that none of the deities' outfits would fit. They had to make a whole new wardrobe of deities' outfit, like that. So, we can see that the potency is there, Krishna is relishing and he's giving us back, and that becomes prasadam. So here, Krishna is making this point very powerfully, that this is the basis for duty and religion. Like Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan, it is said that when the first devotees came and they were staying in Radha Damodar Mandir and the construction of Krishna Balaram temple was going on, and one day in the morning the devotees were out in the streets, you know, chanting their japa, and there was one sweet shop which was open early in the morning, and the owner of the sweet shop, he looked at the devotees and thought that if the first, you know, food is taken in the morning by the devotees, Hare Krishna devotees, the day will be auspicious. So he called the devotees. He said, "Please have." And the devotees said, no, we don't take, you know, anything anyone gives like that." He said, no, they take this rasgulla." He says, no. He said, "Take this sundae." He says, no. "Take this gulab jam." He said, "No." And then finally he brought out hot jalebis and glass of milk and everything. And the devotees, they looked around and saw that it was pretty empty, the streets. And they thought, not only streets are empty, it is Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everything is prasad. And here he is offering, Brajavasi is offering. And he is requesting us, so as Vaishnava Seva, we should reciprocate. So immediately they said, "Come on, quickly give us." So everyone took, you know, one bowl of jalebis, and they started eating, and suddenly Prabhupada's car turned in that lane. And the car suddenly turned, and this was in a corner. And as soon as the car turned, the front part of the car passed, but then something happened, there was a brake, and the car stopped, and then it reversed, and came right in front of where the devotees were. The glass was still up, the glass went down. And the devotees looked around. There was no time to run. There was no place to go. There was no way they could hide or put their hands in the pocket. It was all filled with jalebi. So they said, "Okay, let us surrender. Whatever happens." Prabhupada rolled the glass down. And Prabhupada looked at them. And Prabhupada said that, "Oh, Bengali sweets." Prabhupada said, "Essence. Essential for life sustenance." Prabhupada rolled the window and went away. And the devotees were, "Oh, bona fide." But of course, this is not a story to make things bona fide. But Prabhupada, when he established the Krishna Consciousness Movement, he put a lot of emphasis on prasadam. And he said prasadam has a means of purifying the consciousness. And therefore Srila Prabhupada established all over the world standards by which devotees could not only purify themselves, but we can also conduct so many preaching activities through the means of prasadam. So here Krishna is revealing to Nanda Maharaj that just see, our entire sustenance is by the mercy of Govardhan. Because of that, all our cows are fed, we are fed, so therefore we have to be grateful. What we are receiving is prasad from Govardhan in one sense, so we should reciprocate. So that is another point which Krishna is making. Then, the other reason why Krishna now starts arguing against Indra is that he wants to destroy the false pride of Indra. This is the fifth reason or the fifth point. And there is a nice verse Krishna quotes while thinking about how he will purify Indra, which he says, Nahi sadbhava yuktanam suranam isha vismayam. If even a sura or a demigod is sadbhava yuktanam, not filled with that attitude of positive service, but isha vismaya is thinking that I am the controller, I am the ruler, then he says, matto asatam mana bhanga. I make an arrangement in such a way that I break his false pride. And then what happens? Prashamaya upakalpati. And in this way, I relieve him from that burden of false pride. So therefore, this false pride is like a big burden. And Krishna is helping his devotee by relieving him of this false pride. And so this is a very important principle, that Krishna is performing this golden pastime and simultaneously he is taking care of three categories. One category is his karma mishra bhuttas, devotees who are his servants, who accept Krishna as Lord but still have fruitive desires to enjoy themselves. They want to use devotional experiences to enhance their enjoyment mood. So therefore, this is karma mishra bhakta category, and by destroying the false pride of Indra, Krishna is demonstrating that I do not tolerate this. It is not very pleasing. This false pride is not very pleasing. So for example, example is given, if one goes on churning water for millions of years, is he going to get butter? Churning of water will never yield butter. Similarly, if we keep churning through our material desires, using the false ego as the pivot, as a churning rod, we are never going to get any satisfaction, any pleasure, no matter how long we do it. So we have to come out of this and change. Therefore, the law of karma is described as a cosmic mirror. Mirror means when you see your face in the mirror, it is reflecting. Whatever face you make, that same face will appear in the mirror. So therefore, whatever activity we do, the whole cosmos has been built in such a way that if I hurt the universe will hurt me. If I do good to the world, then the world will do good to me. It is like a mirror, right? When you come in front of the mirror and do like this, then from the mirror also you will see this image. So therefore, we have to make sure that when we perform activities based on humility, then that same thing will also come back and affect us positively. Whereas acts performed out of false ego will also come back in due course of time and the reaction will manifest accordingly. So this is an interesting feature which is described here in this particular point. Just like in Bangladesh, one time there were some people who attacked the ISKCON temple. Now ISKCON is in a minority there. The Hindus are in a minority in Bangladesh. So there were people from other community who came and attacked. And this person had, you know, all kinds of stuff over his face. Only his eyes could be seen. He had a gun. And there was an American devotee who was there in this temple at that time. And he was at the book table, book stall. And this person came with the gun, placed this gun on the top of this devotee's head. And he, because he saw that he's an American, but he's also dressed like Vaishnava with tilak and everything, he got confused. He said, "Are you Hindu?" Now, typically, many would say yes. But the devotee, because he knew the philosophy so well, he said, "Who are you? Are you Hindu?" He replied, "Gopir Bharatur Padakamalayor Das 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 Anudas." And in Bangladesh, there are a lot of people with surname Das. Manoj Das, you know, this Das. So this thought, this is Das, Das, Dasanu Das. It's a different kind of, you know, third degree Bengali. He couldn't figure out. He got confused. And he just left the place. And people were saved. Now, in one sense, he spoke the truth, what he knew very innocently. So when we are really situated in our original position of being humble servant of the servant of the servant, that is the only platform of complete protection. So therefore, here Krishna is trying to demonstrate that as long as Indra is thinking, "I am in control," then Krishna says, "Okay, let me see. He will show you. You think that you can switch on and off the tap, but I control the water tank. You know, you can pour things on Vrindavan, but I can throw the whole universe on you. What you can do?" So therefore, this false pride Krishna doesn't tolerate in Karma Mishra Bhaktas. The second category Krishna is dealing with is those who are not even devotees. Those who are not even exposed to Krishna consciousness through this Govardhan Leela. So the Karma Mishra Bhaktas are tackled by the example of Indra. And now for those who don't know what is Krishna, who is Krishna, what is the soul, what is demigod, what is bhakti, nothing. So to give all these souls in future a chance to get connected, Krishna instructs Nanda Maharaj to start what will be an annual Govardhan festival. So the whole idea of Govardhan Puja is created by Krishna as a master plan to save millions of souls in future who have no idea about who Krishna is. So those who are devotees will anyway come and hear about Indra's pride. And they will be purified, thinking, "I should not be proud." And there are those who are new who will come for the festival, who don't know anything about Indra. They don't know the difference between Indra and Krishna. But they know that prasad was great. So when they come to the festival, circumambulate, and they take prasad, they become purified and they get a chance to get connected to the movement. So therefore, Krishna takes care of such people through these wonderful festivals like the one we are having today. It is giving opportunity for hundreds and thousands of souls who have no contact with Krishna to get in touch. In 1995, in Moscow, they celebrated a grand Janmashtami festival. And this was on August 18th, 1995. And as part of the festival, they did a lot of Harinam. And they covered many, many areas of Moscow doing Harinam. And also in the temple, they did a lot of Harinam. And they had an amazing festival with lots of devotees, lot of book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan. And on 25th of August, Moscow TV carried a news report, which was very unique. And this TV newscaster reported that August 18th, was a very, very special day in the last 100 years in Moscow. Why? He said that was one day where somehow, by coincidence, by stroke of fortune or whatever, not a single instance of murder, robbery or rape was reported in any of the police stations in Moscow. Whereas Moscow had a population of 10 million, and an average of 80 murders per day. And that day, they reported, there was nothing. Of course, they didn't know the connection with Janmashtami and Harinam and all. But this was posted by the devotees as an interesting coincidence that that was the Janmashtami day. And that also turned out to be so auspicious and so purifying. So when Prabhupada mentioned in the first canto of Purport that when one chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and spreads the message of the Bhagavatam, then this transcendental sound vibration purifies the ether. And this is also a testimony of this. So therefore these festivals are very important for us to purify ourselves and also connect others. And then another reason why Krishna performs this pastime is to deal with the third category. So there are Karma Mishra Bhaktas, those who are mixed devotees, and those who are non-devotees. And third are his most pure, intimate, highly advanced devotees, which are the Brajavasis. So Krishna wants to reciprocate with the Brajavasis. And therefore, in order to do that, he creates this setting under Govardhan. And then Krishna, while lifting the Govardhan, he has all of these sweet intimate exchanges with everyone. And it was as if that Krishna is thanking Indra, that somehow Indra has arranged a very nice vacation for all of us. It was like a whole yatra. It was like a whole Vrindavan yatra for Brajavasis. That they could all come under the Govardhan for 7 days and seven nights, leaving all of their other jobs, all of their occupational duties, everything they left, they came and their whole concentration was on Krishna. Like one of the earliest devotees, in his con, she made a painting of Krishna lifting Govardhan. And she brought it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada saw that Krishna had been built very muscular, with bulging muscles. And it was like Krishna was lifting like this. And Prabhupada said, why you have made Krishna like this? She said, for 7 days, seven nights he's lifting. It must be really tough. Prabhupada said, Parasa Shakti Rividaiva Shruyate. That Krishna, he manifests his potencies simply by his desire, not like this. So therefore he lifted and effortlessly and simultaneously he was having intimate pastimes with all of his devotees. As if that was the very reason why he conducted this entire pastime. So, with intimate devotees, with great souls, Krishna performs these kind of reciprocations. Just like someone asked Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada, when will be the day when we will have our own airport? They were sitting in an airport and there was a lot of delay and there were so many problems. Said, Prabhupada, then we'll have our own airport. Prabhupada said, this is our airport. Because everything belongs to Krishna and we are simply serving Krishna, so we see that as paraphernalia belonging to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, great devotees see everything in connection with Krishna. Like Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, one time he saw over a bridge, a locomotive train, which was going. You know, in the previous ages, in the early 1900s until last 20 years back, there was this black colored locomotive train which would make sound. So when the locomotive train was chugging along and making this horn, its horn was like cuckoo cuckoo. So immediately Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Vamsi Das Babaji Maharaj, he saw that and immediately started shouting, Shyam Sundar, Shyam Sundar. This is the sound of flute of Krishna. That is what he remembered. And he started shouting, Ras Mandal, Ras Mandal. And someone said, what is going on? And Saraswati Thakur was there. He said that he is thinking this is Krishna and all the gopis behind him. Krishna is followed by all the gopis and this is Ras Leela going on. So simply by seeing locomotive train and so many bogies, he was in that mood. He was in that bhav. So therefore, this Uddipan is only possible for someone who is highly advanced. But for those who are not advanced, we have to create that training, and for that, the temple is there. So in the temple, there are deities, there is a specific environment which is created, which will help us remind of Krishna. And therefore, on these special occasions, we remember Krishna by celebrating his most wonderful appearance, by performing Abhishek, by glorifying him, seeing his beautiful forms. So all of this is like a heavy dose of Krishna remembrance into our system. So that will carry us forward like that. So another very interesting feature is Krishna is trying to tell all the Brajavasis that do not divert your attention to other gods. Do not divert attention to other gods. Only focus on Krishna. No need to go to all these other demigods. So he's making a statement about demigod worship. That if you take shelter of Krishna, automatically everything is taken care of. And this is a very, very important principle. When we come to Krishna consciousness, many of us may have had connection with so many other different kinds of demigods. Someone in Japan asked the Prabhupada, that Swamiji, have you met Indra? Prabhupada said, I am in contact with the master of Indra. Why should I bother about Indra? When you know the king, why should you bother about Chaprasi? Someone who is the top. So therefore, everyone else gets taken care of automatically. So here, Krishna is making this principle. Someone wrote a letter to Prabhupada, that in our Sankirtan bus, we want to keep one deity of Ganesh, Ganpati, and worship it. Prabhupada said, why? Because you want to increase book distribution sales and get more money for Krishna's pleasure, for your pleasure. Prabhupada said, then you send $100,000 per month to me as tax for Ganesh Puja. If you do that, because it is for my pleasure, this is how much I want. So immediately next letter came, now we are happy with Krishna only. So one may think, he may use this, he may use that in Krishna's service, and the gopis are also worshipping Katyayani Devi to get Krishna as their Lord. And when Krishna is in Dwaraka, and during the Shyamantakmani episode, and Krishna is not seen by the Dwarakavasis for a long time, they go and worship Durga Devi to get Krishna's audience. When Rukmini Devi is in separation from Krishna, she is going and worshipping Girija. But these are all instances of great souls whose faith is completely focused and fixed in Krishna first. So therefore, Krishna is making a statement, you have to just focus on me alone. Another point which Krishna is making is that good and bad, everything depends on the context. So now just Krishna is now speaking to Nanda Maharaj, all atheistic philosophy, that why you are worshipping Indra? Work is worship. We are working, we are getting the result. And what Mahindra Kim Karishyati? What is this Indra doing? You think he is sending rain? No. We are doing our work. We are duty bound. And because we are doing what we are doing, we are getting the result. Forget Indra. So this is one of the atheistic philosophies. And he is mentioning this. You know, work is worship. And then he is mentioning about how everyone has a conditioned nature, including Indra. Everyone is under the influence of the modes, including Indra. So all of these different atheistic philosophies, Krishna is speaking. Now, someone may think that, why is Krishna speaking all of these atheistic philosophies? So Krishna being the absolute truth, he is using even atheistic philosophies to convince Nanda Maharaj to only worship Krishna and no one else. So Krishna is so expert, he can use atheism for the cause of pure devotional service. So using atheism as an instrument, he is bringing all the Vrajavasis to the point of pure devotional service. And because we are not so fixed up, sometimes practicing pure devotional service, gradually we deviate and become atheist. So therefore, everything depends on context and how things are utilized, for which purpose, and in what mood things are used. And this is one of the main features which is being described here in these purports. Like for example, Srila Prabhupada had a servant, and he was always getting confused that my Prabhupada is telling me different things different times. So many people would come, and then they would meet this servant and say that we want appointment with Prabhupada, we want him to come for lunch, we want to come for program. And he would check his diary and say, there is no time, Prabhupada can't come. And then these guests would go and meet Prabhupada. Swamiji, we want to meet you, we want to come and meet you, and we want to invite you to our home for prasad. We want you to come for a program for prasad, of course. I'm ready to come anytime. Said, you're sure you will come? Said, of course, anytime you call me, I'll come. And then they would go completely satisfied. And then they would go and chastise the servant. You stopped us, but he's allowing us. What is the problem? And then he would get bewildered, and he came to Prabhupada. Said, Prabhupada, I am trying to cancel so many things which are impossible for you to fulfill, and you are again rebooking all those appointments. It is impossible for you to fulfill all these appointments. Prabhupada said, I know that. I am doing my duty of, you do your duty of fixing appointments, I will do my duty of breaking them. But the main point is that when people come to me, they have certain expectations, and I can't just say no to them. So whatever is practical, I will try within my capacity. But the main principle is that somehow we have to make sure that people feel inspired to come closer to Krishna and his devotees. So now here, Nanda Maharaj and all the Brajavasis are going towards Indra, and Krishna is trying to nudge them back. Hey, not towards there. Come here. And then Krishna is introducing, you worship Govardhan and Giriraj, like that. So therefore this principle is a very important point. Another point which is made in this is that the Absolute Truth is a person, and he has emotions. He has expectations. So Krishna is a jealous God, in one sense, as someone quotes, in the sense that Krishna asks for Ananya Bhakti. Ananya Bhakti means unalloyed, unswerving, one-pointed devotion. And when Krishna sees there is some deviation, he is not very happy. So therefore Krishna is very angry with the Brajavasis that why you are going here and there, trying to satisfy all different types of people, when I am right here, and you can worship me, and in my form as Giriraj. So this principle of Ananya Bhakti shows that Krishna has a certain expectation, and so his devotees are also trying to engage us in a certain way. And therefore we have to reciprocate with the mood of Krishna and his devotees. So it is not that when we have come to spiritual life, anything is okay, everything is okay. And when we read descriptions of the devotees, that pure devotees are unaffected by happiness, distress, pain, pleasure. Therefore you should be unaffected by whatever I do also. No. So Krishna has a certain expectation from the Brajavasis. So it is natural to have those expectations. And those expectations are ultimately having a proper motive because they have to guide them towards the ultimate goal. Just like there was this businessman who got a dream that you should go and give a donation to Badri Vishal. So he went to Badri Vishal. He went walking all the way from Rajasthan carrying a lot of money. And he had lots of money to donate. And he went all the way to Badri Kashram. And then in Badri Vishal, he saw the deities, took darshan, and he wanted to give that as donation. And the deities spoke to him and appeared to him and said, I want you to take this money and give it as donation to Raghunath Das Goswami. Because he wants to construct Radha Kund in a very nice way. For renovation of Radha Kund, you give this. So it took several months for him to walk from Rajasthan to Badri Vishal, to Badri Kashram. And he came all the way back from Badrinath, back to Vrindavan. And it took another several months. And he met Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami was very happy to meet him. He said, who are you? And he said, I am this businessman, and I have this great desire to donate this wealth, and I went to Badri Vishal to donate this, but the deity said I should give all of this to you. And Raghunath Das Goswami chastised him. He said, how can I take Krishna's money? This money belongs to Krishna, I can never take it. Go back and give it to Badri Vishal. And he was totally flabbergasted. What is going on? Between the Lord and the devotee, you know, I'm like a ping pong ball from one end to another end. And still, several months he took to go all the way back. And he has a completely pure motive. He just wants to give everything. And justly, the circumstances, even his donation is not being accepted. See, one of the historical cases like this. He went all the way there, and then Badri Vishal, as soon as he saw, he chastised. Didn't you understand when I told you first time? How dare you come back and show your face to me? Go back to Raghunath Das Goswami. Never again dare to come back, whatever he may say. So you can imagine his frustration. Again he has to travel back several months. And this time was really trembling that I have no choice because I can't go back there. So he just prayed the lotus feet to Raghunath Das Goswami. You may not want to accept, but please tell me someone whom I can give this. And Raghunath Das Goswami said, well, there is Jiva Goswami. Meet him. He will take care. So he met Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami immediately arranged for all of that wealth to be used for making the proper arrangements for the Radha Kund to be built the way we see it right now. And therefore Jiva Goswami was not only a scholar who wrote 4 lakh verses. Prabhupada defines him or describes him as the greatest philosopher the world has seen. But it was Srila Jiva Goswami who was drawing up all the deeds for other Damodara temple, for all the other temples, keeping all the desires of the Goswamis with him, conducting all the negotiations, and also utilizing all of these resources for creating facilities for future generations. So Jiva Goswami may have been into highest philosophy, but his feet were grounded because he knew that all of this business of taking care of things is also a part of Vrindavan Leela. So therefore one should not think that spiritual life means only just philosophy, only discussion about so many leelas and pastimes, but spiritual life means down to earth practical service. And through the service we are trying to approach Krishna. So therefore Krishna is demonstrating that the absolute truth is a person and he has certain emotions. And similarly the devotees also have emotions. And when Prabhupada established ISKCON society, he expressed his emotion that you should consider this to be like a house where so many people are coming to take shelter. So therefore whatever is required to maintain this institution nice, peaceful and keep the devotees satisfied, we have to do that understanding the desires of the great souls who have helped create this. So therefore it is the duty of each and every individual in the society to think in those terms. And then we will be able to see Krishna's reciprocation. And the last principle which I will describe today is how Krishna is expressing to the Brajavasis that worship should be relevant. So he's saying that you worship this Indra, what do you get? Nothing. But you worship Govardhan, you see, there is so much of reciprocation. Instantly you see there are so many things which are happening. So therefore all of us are looking for a process which will make sense to us, which will be relevant to us. And Krishna consciousness is the most relevant process because as soon as we start chanting and come in association with devotees, immediately we see great transformation. Just like there were devotees doing Harinam in San Francisco and it was a New Year's Eve and you know the mood on New Year's Eve. So on the streets people were partying and doing all kinds of things and devotees were doing Harinam. Suddenly one man in a nice expensive tuxedo came, met the devotees and gave one of these devotees, called him and he said, take this $50. You are doing a wonderful task and I want to assist you. And I also want to tell you one thing. The devotee says, what? That you know, I have been in this hotel, in the restaurant, for the last 1 hour, and already I have spent more than $500 on getting all the different items. And now, for the midnight, I am going for another party, and there are 4 members in my family, and each person is going to spend more than $500. So by the time the sun rises in the morning, I would have spent more than $2,000. And I am not the only person like that. Hundreds and thousands of people all over are doing the same thing. We are spending hundreds and thousands of dollars, but you know what? We are not happy. And you people seem to be the most happy. And the devotee replied, "And for free. You're not spending anything. Chanting Hare Krishna doesn't cost anything. So it is the most relevant process. You simply take to the process, chant Hare Krishna and be happy." So Prahlad Maharaj says, if you compare going back to Godhead and going to hell, which is more costly? So he says, going to hell is a very costly affair. Because to go to hell, you need to eat meat, which costs a lot. You need to drink alcohol, which costs a lot. If you smoke cigarettes, it will cost a lot. Right? If you want to have illicit sex, that will also cost a lot. And gambling means only cost only. So to break four regulatory principles, you need a lot of money. So you pay through your nose to ultimately go to hell. Whereas to go back to Godhead, you chant Hare Krishna, which is free. You hear lecture, which is free. You take prasad, which is free. And then on Janmashtami, you can help get some donations. As a reciprocation. So ultimately, the process is very simple and very relevant. And just like when we were recently in America, we met one of the devotees, Badrinarayan Prabhu, and he was telling how they are constructing a big temple for $6 million. $8 million, they already collected $6 million. And he said there was no way the council was giving permission for that temple. And the lady who was in charge, was the main person in the council, she had already declared that this Hare Krishna, we will not give permission. And all the council members were also ready, and they had made a whole master plan, how they will stop this temple proposal. So what happened was, suddenly one day, Badrinarayan Prabhu got this phone call from this lady, he said, come and meet me. He went to meet her, she said, I think I am favorably inclined towards the temple construction. And I think your temple will be built. And he was bewildered. He said, you are the one person who are opposing. What happened? He said, I got a dream. And in that dream, I saw this piece of land where you have taken this, you know, thinking of making this proposal here. And I saw the whole temple being constructed. And I saw fantastic lights in there. I could hear people chanting. The whole vision came right in front of me, and it appears as if God is revealing to me that temple will be built, don't try to oppose it. So he said, very good. So she said, I will try to help you in every way. And that night she sent a fax to the temple secretly. And that fax contained all the different objections which the council was going to make with the temple proposal. There were 15, you know, objections with which they would demolish their whole plan, saying that this is not correct, this is not correct. And the devotees would have become bewildered in the meeting. So all those plans she sent in advance. So the devotees got their lawyers and made a fresh plan, keeping all those objections in mind. So when they went to make the proposal, and the council said, are you ready? They said, yeah, we are ready. So they made the proposal, and each and every point, the council was totally bewildered. That this is the point we are going to object, but they already thought about it. And at the end of it, the devotees, you know, they just said, any objections? And they had no objections. And they said, okay, one last objection. If any of the neighbors make a complaint, then you can't get this project approved. So it so happened there was one person who was in the army. And he said, I can tolerate anything including sound of bullets, but not the sound of Hare Krishna. I will never allow this Hare Krishna sound to come near me. And so the council was happy. Okay, at least there is someone who is protesting. And the council was supporting him. Go ahead. Within 1 month, this man got a transfer order from the army, transferred to Alaska. Because he had a desire, I don't want to hear holy name, Krishna chose one of the few states in America where there is no ISKCON temple. That there is no possibility of hearing the holy name, go to Alaska. Do whatever you want. Harinam won't come there at all, don't worry. So therefore, when Krishna wants to get something done, he can do it any way he wants. and he will simply use devotees as instruments for his wonderful mission. So we are very grateful to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada for allowing us this opportunity to be part of His wonderful divine mission, through which we are getting an opportunity to purify ourselves and connect so many souls in the human form of life, the ultimate goal of life. And on the occasion of Janmashtami, we should pray to Krishna, to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, as Shravan Prabhu was making the point that Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of Krishna. And therefore, when Radharani appears in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the mercy aspect becomes more enhanced. So there are three reasons why Gaura-lila is more important for devotees than Krishna-lila. Because first is, for the conditioned soul, because Lord Chaitanya is always in mood of separation in Gaura-lila. So for a conditioned soul like us, it is easier to identify with mood of separation. Right? Because we are already separated. Where is Krishna? You know, Brajavas, our Goswamis were saying, "Hey Radhe, where are you?" So we are also saying the same thing. Where is Krishna? I can't figure out. I can't find out. I have my doubts. So it is easier to identify with mood of separation. Second reason is that the mood of audarya is more easy to identify for a conditioned soul than the mood of madhurya. Audarya means mercy. And therefore, because all of us are suffering, so for a suffering person, mercy appears to be a very pleasing word, you know, more than sweetness, right? When somebody is bleeding, or you have just got a hot, you know, something hot has touched you in the kitchen, then at that time you are crying out, somebody brings, okay, take a sweet. Why don't take a gulab jamun now? That is not what you want. You want a burnal there, right? So at that time you need something to take care of your injury. So we are in a suffering state. So the sweetness of Vrindavan doesn't seem so much relevant as the mercy which will mitigate our feelings. So therefore the mood of audarya is more relevant than the mood of madhurya for a conditioned soul in suffering state. And thirdly, an event which has occurred 500 years back is more relevant than something which has happened 5,000 years back. So in one sense, there is closeness and proximity, and easier to identify with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And so, Srila Prabhupada, in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, he writes a complete life sketch of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can enter into Krishna Lila. So, on this most auspicious day of Janmashtami, let us pray that we can be purified of our anarthas, of our tendencies, as described in this pastime of karma mishra, jnana mishra, bhakti, and let us strive for pure devotional service, and let us pray to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji to give us that strength to continue on with this process of devotional service, and let us be free from the tendency to commit offenses at the lotus feet of devotees, and let us spend this entire day in this consciousness of trying to glorify Krishna with our body, mind and words. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Krishna Janmashtami Mahamahotsav ki, Jai Gop Premanandi.
His Grace Gauranga Prabhu ki. I request now His Grace Rohini Priya Prabhu to come and speak about the simplicity in Krishna consciousness.